This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today with
Sophie. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Good morning and hello, and thank you to those who are watching the show this morning on YouTube or on Twitch. The show every day on Twitch is brought to you by Springer's Jewelers. And if you're in the market for a diamond, then travel to tax-free Portsmouth, New Hampshire, and get one at Springer's. Just go to springersjewelers.com to learn more. They have the very best prices in New England. Joining us now, a man who made me look like an absolute buffoon last week, which some would say is not that hard to do, the great Rob Ninkovich. Hello, Rob.
Hey, guys. Sorry, I was in New Orleans. You know how that goes. So I'm here now.
What time?
Happy to be on with you.
I guess Bourbon Street got you. Is that what happened?
Oh, I was fishing on Thursday. Then we got back, and I had a few cocktails and maybe a few more.
Uh-huh.
And I woke up at like 9, and I missed my time. So.
That's forgiven, honestly.
Yes. It's New Orleans.
It's New Orleans.
NOLA.
Yeah. I love
That's
NOLA.
Right.
So your grade, Patriots draft-wise, Robert?
I'm going to go B++.
Okay.
Wow. Pretty high.
I'm not a big A on a draft class. The whole A-plus or A, that whole grade on that, to me, everything is basically potential anyway. And now it's up to the players to go out there and perform. And then maybe in a year or two, you could say, wow, that was an A-plus draft.
Yeah.
But everybody that you have right now, they're still just – rookies that played in college, and you don't know what's going to happen. So for me, we'll see what happens. Similar to that 2010 draft where they had a ton of talent and they had great careers. So now you look back at that draft, you're like, wow, that was a heck of a draft, and those guys contributed. So we'll see what happens. You know what, though? I love that first pick. I love it.
Mm.
And, you know, the just his interviews, you know, like – it just got you going. You know, it just brought you back to, hey, I want to go out there. I want to go one-on-one with Will Campbell, and I want him to baptize me, and I'll just be laughing the whole time.
See,
you know,
Wiggy,
I'll be giggling the whole time.
Wiggy hated that pick.
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of it. I wasn't a fan of it.
I mean, how could you not when you got a guy that's like, yeah, man, I'm just here to rip some heads off.
Yeah.
You know, it's
nasty.
Like, you know, I'm nasty. How would you define your game? Nasty, man.
Nasty.
I'm telling you. I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to protect my quarterback like it's the only thing I have on this earth. And
nasty.
I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to play offensive line. Dude, it's like it just gets your heart racing. And for me, when you look at that pick, that's a necessity. They needed a lineman that potentially could be here for 10-plus. Now, that's all potential, like I said. But, you know, it's similar to like a Matt Light pick where you bring a guy in who's got a super talent to him, and his mentality's there. He seems like he could be a great leader, concrete guy. So, you know, I think it's a great pick.
But even to your point, Rob, Matt Light went in the second round. I would have rather seen them have gone maybe traded down and then took Tyler Warren. I know Shine was on Ashton Jeanthe. I would have been happy with Ashton Jeanthe. I feel like you could have got their lineman in the second round and one of the skill players with your first overall pick. And that's where I disagree with them. Yeah, he might be a great player, but I just disagree with them taking a lineman at 4 rather than a skill player.
Well, if was the fifth, we'd all be drunk.
That is true.
I mean, you could have done a lot of different things there, but having that fourth pick and having that guy right there to where you could say, hey, if we pass this up, if we trade down, if we get something else, we don't solidify the offensive line, which I think right now the offensive line is probably the biggest glaring need that to protect the blind side of your third overall pick, who you think is going to be the future at quarterback. You know, having two young guys together, you could have a good run here for a long time. So I think going and getting that pick, and if you knew, like, coming into this draft, this is what we need. If he's available, we're going to get him. And guess what? Let's not look back. I think they did that. And that's, you know, to me, it was great. This draft, to me, it looked like they knew what they needed. They went and they got it. And, you know, now it's up to them to go out there and produce.
So arm length, not an issue for you?
You know, it's all footwork. Offensive line stuff is footwork based. And, you know, I'll tell you, when I go back to some of the hardest matchups I've gone against, it was guys with great feet. And he's got a great set. And when I talk about set, getting to the spot and his quickness. And, you know, I go back to when we played the Ravens. I think it was one of the AFC Championship games, and it was at home against the Ravens. And they had Marshall Yanda, who was playing tackle. And going into that matchup, he was a guard, Pro Bowl guard, you know, one of the best in the league. And I kept watching film. I'm like, okay, he's a guard, but he's going to be out of tackle. How am I going to attack him? And I tell you, it was really tough for me because he was so quick and he was getting to the spot. And when you're going against guys that have great footwork, it really messes with outside linebackers, pass rushers. So I don't think the arm length is going to be any issue. Matt Light, you know, I think he had 33-inch arms. You know, it comes down to your technique, your footwork, and your consistency. And I think he's got, you know, all three of those things.
Rob, you were in Chapel Hill a couple weeks ago. Wellness check on Bill. What the hell is going on with that guy? I don't know if you saw the interview yesterday.
I did. I wish he would have put a different shirt on. Somebody said put the holy, the worst looking Navy shirt on. I mean, it must have been, you know, 30 years old. But anyway, I went down there just to check it out. You know, beautiful campus. I've never been in that area, so it was an opportunity to go check it out and help coach a little bit. It's just, you know, the crazy part about college is you realize that the majority of these kids will never play a down in the NFL. So you're working with a lot less talent. And when you're in the NFL a long time, you're with the best of the best. So the best player on the best team in college is in the NFL. And then you go back to college, you realize, like, wow, these 90% of these kids won't even touch the field in the NFL. And some of them are getting paid, which is just nuts that all of them are getting paid. It's nuts to think that some of these kids that are getting paid aren't very good, but they think they're good, you know?
Was your trip down there organized by Jordan Travel Enterprises LLC, or how does that work?
I did not come into contact with that aspect of the organization, no. So I did not see her. I did not, you know, come across anything. You know, I went down. You know, Steve's a good friend of mine, so you know, I went down, hung out with Steve for a couple of days, and it was great. You know, I you love getting back into the swing of going into the meetings and, you know, working with guys in practice. And the one thing I would say about college athletes, they're eager to get to the NFL, so they want to learn and they want to, you know, they want to get better. So it was cool. I really enjoyed it.
What is your guess at why Shedeur Sanders dropped so precipitously?
I would probably have to say the interviews, maybe, you know, and that's all hearsay on how he interviewed. But, you know, at the end of the day, it's still a job where you have to, you know, go into an interview. You have to represent yourself as you would if you were on the team. And if he didn't do those interviews well, or if he came across as, you know, kind of arrogant and, you know, too big for certain teams, then I could see how that would be a big problem for these teams. And I was listening to earlier on the whole, like, gold chain thing. Everyone's got a gold chain. I got a gold chain on right now. You know, so yeah. The whole rap thing, too, it's like, come on, everyone's listening to rap.
Rob, you know the perception of how certain dudes, they carry themselves, and especially black athletes, if they're in the perception, or, like, you know, whether it's people in the front office, I've even had position coaches – where they look at and you carry yourself in this way, they instantly think because you act and dress like a rapper, you act like a rapper.
Well, I mean, I've been around a bunch of guys, you know, in my career, and I've seen a lot of different situations where guys were probably more over the top than mm-hmm. some rappers, right? And they were having a good time, and you know, they were great football players. So, you know, the whole rap, you know, this guy's going to bring the entourage and all that. I really think at the end of the day, some of the, I think some of the modern right now, this situation that we're in 2025 with the cameras and the entourage and everything that you do is recorded and it's documented and they're making, you know, videos and YouTubes and, you know, your platform. I think that also could cause an issue for some guys or teams, because they're like, you're bringing on not just the player, but you're bringing your entourage. You're bringing this whole thing with you and they're recording everything. And, you know, at a certain point, you're just trying to build a team with individuals and you're trying to lose the individuality to bring together a team. And it's really hard to build a team now when all these players are individuals and they're just about, you know, hey, I'm going to try and brand and market myself, you know, the legendary brand.
Yes.
He's already branding himself as legendary before he's legendary. You have to go out and produce to become a legend.
Yeah. Don't you think that the college game, though, needs to figure out NILs, because this is just going to continue where guys are making millions and millions of dollars coming into the league?
It's getting worse and worse and worse. Now, look at the quarterback from Texas. He was going to make millions. Now he's making league minimum almost. Right. He's a seventh-round pick. So, you know, some of these guys were crying because they lost $6 million. Right? They weren't crying because they're happy to go to the NFL in the seventh round.
Yeah.
It was interesting,
you know,
though.
They're like, wow, I just listened to my agent say I was going to be drafted first overall, and guess what? I lost $40 million. I better start crying. I think the problem now is, like, for example, you see somebody getting paid in college, and they're out there, and they're screaming, I am him, and I do this, but they only make 2 out of 10 plays. Right? Like, to be that person, you have to make 10 out of 10. You got to be 12 out of 12, 14 out. You got to be the man, you know? And I think there's a lot of, you know, people that are delusional, honestly, on what they really are, because the majority of college players won't even make it to the league.
Nick,
That's what's going to happen. And I think we're creating a huge mental health crisis for players, because they think they're going to be these, you know, football gods, and they're going to end up looking for a 9-to-5.
Yeah. My biggest takeaway that I heard over the weekend that landed with me about the draft is that we're done with the middle drafted quarterbacks. In other words, there's going to be first round picks and like sixth round picks, because people in the NFL either think you could be a starter now, or if you're 2 to 3 year project, they're not going to take any action on that until later in the draft.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with that in some aspects, but you also have to look at the way the money is trending now. And if you are a team that has a quarterback, you're paying $60 million per. You know, I mean, what is the highest paid quarterback's what, Dak? He's making $60
million? Yep.
So you're tying yourself to somebody, and it's going to take 4 to 5 years before you're even thinking about a quarterback, because you're automatically guaranteeing these guys massive amounts. I mean, even Cleveland, they handcuffed themselves so badly because they gave a terrible contract to a quarterback who didn't perform on a fully guaranteed deal, and now they're still handcuffed because they still have to pay him for the next 3 years. And, you know, there's just such a small pool right now for these quarterbacks where if you're going to pick somebody in the first round, they better be great.
Well, thanks.
Or if you're not good, you're screwed for the next 4 to 5 years if you draft a top five quarterback and he's not good.
Well, Rob, what I think it is, it's really about the hype that they get when they're in college. Because if you look at last year's draft, for example, I mean, think about the hype that Jaden Daniels, Drake May, and Caleb Williams got. But not just them. Then you throw in J.J. McCarthy. You throw in Bo Nix, right? So to me, I think it's more about how the NFL hypes these college quarterbacks. So like next year's quarterback class, everybody's already hyping up Arch Manning, right? But then what about the other guys behind them? Are they now going to say, oh, next year's going to be a really good quarterback class? Because that's, to me, where it goes. And I think a lot of people were just down on this year's class, and that's what it ultimately showed.
Yeah, well, I mean, if you put Drake May's draft class against this year's draft class for the quarterback, I don't think it's even close, right? Like, Daniels versus what's available, Drake May versus what was available this year. And then all those teams that were needing a quarterback last year who picked and got their quarterback, well, they're set for the next 5 to 6 to 10. If you're lucky, you're hoping that you hit a home run with your pick. And, you know, this year you look at the number one pick, okay, Tennessee, they picked their quarterback at number one. Now, you would have thought, I personally thought that Shador was going to go in the, like, if he was going to not get drafted in the first round, he would have been gone in the second round. Because after you look at the draft and the way it goes, okay, these teams needed a quarterback. Well, they picked the quarterback. Now they're not going to pick another quarterback. So Cleveland picking a third and a fifth, I just thought that just doesn't make sense to me, right? Like, if you were going to pick Shador, why wouldn't you have picked him in the third round? So, you know, I just think that there's a lot of teams right now that that position at quarterback is so valuable. They looked at it and they say, hey, we already have a quarterback. We don't need a quarterback. Let's move on and let's build our roster in any other capacity that we can.
Rob Ninkovich gives the New England Patriots a B+, and he rarely gives an A. That's basically, so that's a.
I know, I'll never give an A until after they perform, Greg.
All right, well, it's great to hear your voice, and you should come to a roadshow. Join us at a roadshow this spring.
Up. Where's the next roadshow?
Well, we're in Springfield this week, but we're going to. I know you love New Hampshire. You got the shop up in New Hampshire. Maybe we could get you out at Bernie's at Hampton, or maybe we'll get you out at Winnipesaukee. Maybe join us at the Dive.
I'll go to Winnipesaukee. I've never been to Winnipesaukee.
Okay,
never been.
All right, we'll get you up there. We'll get you up there for the July 3rd, Winnipesaukee.
Love it.
All right. Okay.
July 3rd. I probably won't be there on July 3rd, but hey.
Just 4th of July weekend, Rob. You in?
Maybe I'll just call in with my, poolside. How about that?
All right. Good to talk to you. Thank you. There's the great Rob Ninkovich, everyday listener of this radio program. Made up for his, I guess, missing us
definitely.
In New Orleans,
right.
I think. All right. We are going to get to Courtney in today's news coming up. Right now, Courtney, with what is trending this hour.
Now, here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by Subaru of New England. The Celtics get it done in Game 4 after dropping Game 3 in Orlando on Friday. Final score last night, 107-98. Both these teams had moments where they had nice runs, but it was the C's down the stretch led by Jason Tatum to get it done. Tatum ending the night with a double-double, 37 points and 14 rebounds. Game 5 is set for tomorrow night back in Boston. Tip is at 8:30. Other NBA playoffs yesterday, the Pacers go up 3-1 on the Bucks, and Dame Lillard down with an apparent Achilles injury. Not good for him, so the Bucks may be dead in the water. The Timberwolves up 3-1 on the Lakers, and the Knicks up 3-1 on the Pistons. The Red Sox took
Curtis, when is Adam Silver going to get involved in these playoffs and save the Lakers?
Better be soon.
I got to tell you, that was a big L for me. That one,
still time, though, Curtis.
I'm not giving up.
Adam,
the guy that listens
to
every word I say that since I was out on Brady, I'm not out on it.
Here's what you got
to do. That was an awful overturn call if they're trying to get the Lakers in the finals.
I think, like, maybe Anthony Edwards had like that bad behavior.
Yeah.
Maybe you could suspend them for the rest of the series.
Yeah. Okay.
But why did they overturn that call with LeBron and the ball out of bounds when the Lakers were down a point? Like, the broadcast team.
It's a foul from the drone perspective.
Awful.
The Red Sox took care of the Guardians yesterday, 13-3. Brian Baio went 6 innings, giving up 3 runs on 6 hits while striking out 4. We can hear from Alex Cora from last night's Nissan Red Sox postgame show talking about the incident we're going to get to in the news about Jaren Duran and a fan.
No, I was in the corner of the dugout, so I think security did a good job. You know, this is a two-way street. That's something I said last year. You know, we made a mistake last year, and we learned from it. And we grew up, you know, as an individual and as a group, but there's limits, too. And I think security, they did a good job of it. You know, I think the fan, whatever he said or whatever was going on, security felt like he crossed the line, and they kicked him out.
Certainly did. The Sox off today before heading to Toronto to take on the Blue Jays tomorrow. To the NHL playoffs, the Oilers tied up their series with the Kings. The Capitals up 3-1 with the Canadiens. Carolina leads the Devils 3-1, and the Blues tie up their series with the Jets. And for the Pats, after taking a starting left tackle in Will Campbell in the first round, they got Ohio State running back Travion Henderson and Washington State wide receiver Kyle Williams in the second round before taking another offensive lineman in Georgia center Jared Wilson. On Saturday, the Pats turned their attention to the other side of the ball using their first three day three selections on defensive players and added a kicker. And the Subaru of New England Love Spring event is here. Spring into your next adventure in a 2025 Subaru. Find your authorized Subaru retailer at SubaruofNewEngland.com. That's what's trending. Here's Curtis with your weather.
Thank you, Courtney. Greg, I have an idea. I have to get it off my noggin before I forget. What about next year? Roadshow idea. Backyard Greg Hill Roadshow. You apply for a chance to have the Greg Hill Show at your house as a roadshow.
All right. I like that, Curtis.
I don't know. We're thinking about going to Ninko's house, so that popped in my head.
I like it.
58 degrees and sunny, afternoon high of 73.